there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, the mayor of Morehead. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
There is a lot to talk about. There's a lot of stuff happening within the community of Morehead. And first, let's get the very serious stuff out of the way. COVID numbers in the region are on the rise. Rowan County is in a red zone right now. Schools had to go back to virtual learning after just a few days of in-person classes, although the rise in cases are not necessarily linked to the school at all. Spoke with the judge executive, and he said it's kind of hard to pinpoint. But I wondered how these numbers going up are affecting the city. There are a number of things that the state has recommended for guidelines to follow. So what is the city doing that's different now that the county's in the red?
You know, we've really had to adjust services and different options that the city provides as we go and as numbers continue to change. One of the most recent changes that we have made is that we have closed the lobby at City Hall, which is difficult when you have people coming in to pay taxes. We know that that can be a little bit trying at times, but what we have done is put a large drop box out front, kind of on our entrance area. We also have a sign up that if anyone wants to come in, all they need to do is call City Hall when they're at the front door. We will make arrangements there with them and meet with people by appointment as well. We have continued to keep our facilities closed. The Carl Perkins Center is not open for renting right now, as well as Laughlin. We do have one group that has been meeting at the Peggy's Place facility. It is the Round County Christmas group, so that people can come in and fill out applications. They're the only people in there, so very socially distanced and sanitized regularly as well. One thing that has really been difficult is our ability to not have youth sports. And we know that that can be very hard, especially for families as they want to keep their children active. But we're trying to find ways that we may be able to adjust that at the start of the new year.
Is there anything happening with employees for the city? I know that a few months ago, there were a couple cases in city employees. And I wondered how things are going, or if there have been any issues with having to quarantine an entire office or anything like that at this point.
We are very, very lucky. We do not have any positive cases currently. Hope I don't jinx myself by saying that. And we don't have, we've adjusted our employee policies. So we only have one person per vehicle. We've made sure that all of our public works department has individual vehicles to drive so that we don't have people together. We have made sure that departments and employees are not meeting during lunch hours. They're kind of spread out all over or eating in their vehicles or wherever their work may be at the time. We're also making sure to sanitize everything and anything multiple times a day, which has been very beneficial. And everyone is wearing masks in the city buildings and on city time. If you were to walk into City Hall and come into anyone's office, we will have masks on. So that has been very, very helpful, and we're really trying to stay ahead of it as much as we can.
The mask policy, I know that's something that a lot of people are having difficulty with, and one of the reasons that they're attributing higher numbers is non-compliance with the mask policy. Are you seeing in any of the businesses downtown or in the city limits that either they're not having difficulty complying with that as the actual business or having difficulty getting customers to comply with that?
Actually, the health department has been very proactive, and they recently hired an employee who their sole job is to go around and work on mask enforcement. If we get word of businesses not complying or certain areas where there's a lack of masks, we are able to contact that person who can go out and visit the organization or the area and address that. And so that has been very, very helpful. As far as, you know, businesses not complying, I think we're seeing that people understand the importance. And so I know businesses are trying very hard to make sure that they are in compliance with the mask mandate.
Now, the city council met earlier this week for their regular monthly meeting. It's very interesting and to see meetings via Zoom. I think from my perspective, it's a lot easier for people to see what's happening because they don't have to go, oh, yeah, I have to go down to the city building and be at this meeting and sit there around other people. And it's very nice to be able to sit on your couch and see what's happening with the city council. And a lot is happening, even though there's kind of, you know, this pandemic, this emergency that's happening. There's still a lot going on within the city. One of the things that the group discussed was development and projects for this within the city. And we had a new business break ground this very recently, last week, I think.
We did. Starbucks has officially broken ground. I know that their timeline was to hopefully be open by April, and they are on track for that. So a very, very exciting business to come to town. They'll be located by the interstate. So I think the goal is to really kind of bring people in as they're traveling. And it will also be a really nice asset for our community as well. And you did mention, you know, people adjusting to Zoom meetings and things like that. I was really, really thrilled to see that we had, for the majority of our meeting, over 50 people at one time watching. And that's exciting. It really encourages me that people want to keep up to date and stay informed on what the city is doing. And so I think while Zoom is not always ideal, it still provides a lot of opportunity for people to access information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another project that's upcoming that has been in the works for some time is the new police and 911 center that the city is still planning. It seems like it's taking forever for anything to happen, although the sign's up, so we all know where it's going to be. Where are we in that process right now?
I'm very thrilled to report that we had our pre-bid meeting earlier in November with a wonderful turnout. Actually, both our construction management team as well as our architectural team said that the number of people who have expressed interest and downloaded the bid specs for this project is the most they've ever seen on a project. So that is very, very encouraging. We're very hopeful that will indicate some really competitive bids and options for us. The actual bid opening is scheduled for November 24th, and that will be in person at the Laughlin Health Building. So we are able to truly social distance in there. We would be set up in the gymnasium where there's lots of room. So we're looking forward to that. Following the bid opening, we will be voting at a city council meeting on bid packages and hopefully break ground in December or January, pending the weather, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say that'll be a hard time to start construction because it's always...
Although we're seeing really good weather in November, so hopefully that will carry on.
It has been lovely at the beginning of this week, definitely beautiful and over the weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how that continues over the winter months. Also, the special inspection bid was awarded for the police and 911 center. It seems weird that it would be that part of it comes early.
It's very interesting, the pieces that come ahead of other pieces, but this is to make sure that we have all of the inspections are in compliance with the state, and they'll be on board very early on. And that bid was awarded in the amount of $38,925.
And which
we're also finding that certain pieces that are bid prior to the entire construction package are really helping us save money in the long run based on our RFP results, which is very encouraging. And we actually were able to find that we saved a little over $20,000 on an RFP regarding phone and camera system for the building.
It seems like so many people have, people and businesses and municipalities and counties across the nation are putting a lot of things on hold right now because of the pandemic. There's so much uncertainty, even though we've been in this situation for months. Is it still surprising that the city's able to continue forward on this project?
I think there are certain parts of the project that have really had to be adjusted and somewhat delayed because of the pandemic. However, at the same time, people are very motivated to work. And so that has been encouraging to see response from that aspect. It's also a project that we really can't delay. We're just at a point where we need this for essential services and for safety for the community. So we have been able to really put a lot of focus on that. And at the same time, while other projects in the city are either paused or slowing down, it's given us that additional time to really focus and explore options for this project.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Morehead State University students and alumni who have a way with words or a passion for creating visual art can once again showcase their work. Submissions are now accepted for Inkscape, Morehead State University's literary and visual arts journal. Monetary prizes will be awarded for first, second, third, and honorable mention. Deadline to submit entries is January 22nd. For more information, contact MSU's Department of Art and Design at 783-2766.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Laura White Brown, Mayor of Morehead, and we're talking a little bit about the recent City Council meeting. Laura, I really appreciate you spending time with us today.
I always love to talk with you, Leanne.
So there was a lot of discussion at the City Council meeting earlier this week, conducted via Zoom. Some amendments had to be made to some budgets. First of all, not surprisingly, the annual budget for the fiscal year concerning the Morehead Round County Tourism Commission. A big part of the budget comes from restaurant taxes, and that's how tourism kind of maintains what they're able to do, and also the bringing people into the community for different events and activities that are happening. And obviously everything's on hold because of the pandemic, and a lot of people are not eating at restaurants because of the pandemic. So not surprising that this budget amendment is happening, but this is happening almost every month.
Absolutely. And so one thing, I'm very proud of tourism. They have been very conservative in their budget, very, very careful on spending because of kind of the unknown of this year. I joked at City Council that I think we should kind of have the theme that this year is going to be the year of amendments, because we're going to continue to need to make changes as we progress through the year. We were happy to see that the restaurant tax is kind of holding steady. It is below the numbers that were coming in last year on the tax, but yet not as decreased as we thought may have happened this year. So that was very positive to see. Where we are seeing a real loss in revenue is with the transient room tax, the hotel motel tax. People are not as apt to travel right now. There's not events necessarily bringing people in to stay overnight. And so we did see a significant decrease on that end, but we are hopeful as next year gets started, maybe we will see a change in those numbers.
Mm-hmm. And right now there's no real events. It's kind of impossible to plan things that would bring people from other places.
It is. Typically when you're planning an event or having people travel in, it's because of large gatherings. And so we really can't plan those types of events for now. But we evaluate that each month. The Tourism Commission meets monthly and has been discussing their facilities as well. Right now, their facilities are still closed for events. But one thing that I'm really thrilled to see them doing is if you had a conference scheduled at the conference center, they are offering a Zoom package where they will actually facilitate trainings where you can have breakout sessions and still have all of your speakers. And so they've really gotten creative on what they're offering. And so very, very happy to see that continue as an option for people.
Are people, and maybe this is completely off topic and you might not know, but are people starting to try to plan in-person things for further, like next year, this time next year or the following? Because I mean, when you plan a conference, it's not like you're like, next month I want to have a conference. It's usually months and months in advance when that starts. Are we seeing people start to plan those things right now?
We are. There's actually several bookings for next year and certain times of the year that are full in some of our facilities. So people know when they make reservations that there is a chance it will have to be canceled or changed or pushed back again. However, people are optimistic and are really planning for next year.
Not surprisingly, I think that even though it has been a really difficult year so far, people are still hopeful that things will start to adjust. The city council also had to amend their own annual budget. Again, not surprising because things are so different each and every month. But this vote was a little different. The budget amendment had a little bit of controversy, and you ended up breaking the tie.
I did. I think maybe it's the third tie that I've had to break since I started. So I never know what to expect, but sometimes that does happen. Within the city budget amendment, there were a few different things. We received our first payment of the CARES Act money, so we needed to amend putting that money into the budget where it was not in there originally. We also decreased our revenues in the Parks and Recreation Department. Because we are not having youth sporting events, it was time to lower the expected revenue for that area. So we made that change. And then the biggest piece of this amendment was a proposed restructure of our pay scale for employees. We know that now is a time where we need to be competitive in order to both recruit and retain employees. We have huge growth going on across the city and the county. There's a lot of new jobs coming available, and we need to make sure that we're competitive and that people are incentivized and want to continue to work for the city.
And I know that App Harvest just officially opened. They're hiring. They've had a ton of people fill out applications to work there, and there are a lot of jobs available at specifically at App Harvest, but there are other places too that are competitive with pay and offer a better benefits package right now than what the city than what Moorhead. Any business in Moorhead is able to do, but specifically for your purposes, the city needed to kind of change some things.
Absolutely. I continue to go around to departments and talk to employees to get their feedback, hear kind of constructive criticism for both myself, for the city, ideas that they have. And one thing that really stuck with me, I recently talked and spent some time with the police department and the dispatch department. And they explained to me that a lot of them, when they started this job or started their work with the city, they were very aware that the pay was low, but the benefits were really great. The city, for a long time, paid 100% of family insurance, and it was very hard to find that option. So while the pay may have not been high, there were other areas that really incentivized employees. And as we've seen healthcare continue to change, that was a change that the city had to make. And so I'm trying to think, it was right before I came into office, I believe, that there was a change that family health insurance was no longer covered 100% for employees. And the pay also stayed low. And so it's really hard to recruit people when what you did have in the past to use as an incentive, we no longer have. And so we've really gone through department by department, adjusting our pay rates based on certifications, based on past skill sets that you may bring in, and then other areas that you may serve as well. So if you serve on the special response team for the police department, there's now a stipend for that there hasn't, or pending a second reading, of course, but that was proposed. If you are certified to be a canine officer, there is a stipend associated with that. We also did a 50-cent on the hour proposed number for employees as well. And then supervision had specific rates, as well as equipment operators and different positions that require special skill sets and certifications that we've not really set aside specific money for in the past.
So what kind of dollar amount are we talking? I mean, as far as, you know, 50-cent raise for people across the board, we understand. But what is that going to end up changing within the city? How much more is the city going to be spending on payroll across the board, I guess?
If you look at an annual number, now I do want people to keep in mind that this is a mid-year amendment, so we would only be paying a portion of this because it wouldn't take effect probably until January if it does pass the second reading. But with your insurance, FICA, retirement, and non-hazardous pay as well, the total number came in right under $200,000, which is a significant amount of money. However, last month, if you watch City Council, or if you recalled, I mentioned that we had some money built into our budget that we were not going to spend this year. For example, we had $137,000 in this fiscal year for the Kentucky Wired second payment. That payment actually ended up coming out last fiscal year, the very end of June, once this budget was already passed. So that money was open within our budget. So a lot of my reasoning is being able to pull money from other areas because it's built into the budget and we're not going to be spending it this year.
So the first reading did pass. The second reading, I assume, for both of these budget amendments will be on next month's agenda, or if there's a special City Council meeting before then.
Yes, ma'am. That is the plan.
Now, I did want to mention the city had an interesting kind of socially distanced event that they held to celebrate Halloween with a pumpkin glow in City Park. It was fun. I was able to take my family down there. We really enjoyed looking at all the pumpkins. We stayed in the car and kind of slowly cruised through, and it was fun. And the city is planning a similar event for the upcoming holidays.
We are. I'm really, really excited about our kind of our own version of Southern Lights, if you've ever attended that event. But we will be doing a holiday light display around the city park. If you actually come down in the evenings right now, on certain nights, you may see them doing some demos and run-throughs. We're making sure that we don't blow any fuses or cause power to go out because of all the electricity that we are using. But we were able to partner with several organizations, with the county, and with individual sponsors as well, to get a really fantastic display of lights this year. And we're hoping to make it an annual event, just like the pumpkin glow. It will be a drive-through or a walk-through event, depending on what you prefer. We don't have the official date for when that will be finalized and kind of lit up. But right now we are still doing some trials, and hopefully in the next couple weeks it will be ready to go for everyone to see.
I know I've seen some people go ahead and put up their holiday decorations, even though it's a little early in some people's opinion. But hey, we get the joy where we can find it, right?
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. I think we all deserve and need some additional joy this year, and hopefully those lights will help with that.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Laura White-Brown, Mayor of Moorhead, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.